So this is talking with Patricia Leslie, as she was known, Patricia Leslie Foster now, over the telephone from Cambridge to your home near Bristol, and the date is 29 May 1981. Well, if you could first tell me what your training was as an undergraduate and how you first came into contact with radio astronomy.
I did a degree in physics at Edinburgh. To tell you honestly, I don't really remember quite why I wanted to do radio astronomy. I did apply to jot around Cambridge and find a place at Cambridge.
Had you had an interest in astronomy as a child, or?
To the extent that I did an option in astrophysics in my physics degree, yes.
Mm-hmm. But there was no radio background of any kind?
No.
Right. Anyway, so you ended up in Cambridge, and you came in 1957, I believe it was? Right. And how was it decided, or I should say, what were your impressions of the place when you first arrived? How was it decided what you were going to work on and so forth?
Well, I don't remember. It was all very new. I seem to remember helping with various things in the first 3 months, and then later on it being decided what I would do a thesis on. But I certainly don't remember whether there was any discussion about what
But as far as you remember, it was just sort of decided for you.
I don't even remember that.
I see, okay. Well, that's the proper answer if you can't remember things, and that's the proper answer. But in any case, you began working on what was to become your dissertation work after about 3 months' time?
Something like that, 3 or 6. I certainly did a couple of jobs at first, you know, at the beginning.
And was this just to acquaint you with the field site and...
Yeah,
and was there much background reading that was required of new students?
I don't think there was any background reading in those days.
In what sense do you mean? That there was not that much published, or?
That's right.
Right. So what was the project as you saw it at that beginning time that you were starting out on?
Well, there had to be the 3C survey.
Right.
Decided that the large telescope, which had just been brought in, just commissioned, or was being commissioned in fact during my first year, and which was really aimed at doing supersynthesis, which I wasn't actually involved in,
right,
should be used for a rapid survey of the sky to get some kind of basis in position and one of the ideas being to try and see if there was any possibility of using the 3C results from that to get spectra, as well as using such a long baseline to try and get angular diameters.
Right. Now, the 3C survey was done at 178 also, wasn't it?
Wasn't that done at 159?
Or 159, yes. I see. So what you're saying is that you still needed a survey around that frequency.
Yeah.
But then what were you going to use for your other spectral points?
What do you mean by spectral points?
Well, you said you wanted to study the spectra of the sources.
Well, there was a survey. There had been a survey earlier at 181, as I remember.
The 2C survey?
Yes.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that, as I remember, the 2C survey wasn't really compatible in resolution with the results in higher frequencies, and in the end, the spectral work, as I say, came to naught.
Yes. That's right. I mean, the 2C turned out to be very heavily confusion limited and therefore somewhat unreliable. So what you're saying is that when you began on your major project, it was felt that you could use the 2C for this purpose, but then...
Using other people's results also, there were a couple of others that had been done using them. But as well as the spectral work, I think, was sort of merely a twinkle in somebody's eye at the beginning and rapidly got dropped.
Right.
And a much more important part of it was getting angular diameters.
Okay. Well, can you tell me what the basic technique was that you were going to use to get the diameters?
Well, it was totally straightforward in that we had one very large telescope. coupled with using that with a very small affection to provide an integrometer. This then gave you effectively two points in the Fourier transform.
Right.
And that enabled you to get the angular diameter, not unambiguously, I might point out, because you only had two points on the Fourier transform.
Right.
But it could give you some idea of whether structure existed. In other words, if the flux density on the interferometer was much lower than that on the single instrument.
Right.
Then it showed there was something going on.
And you could get an estimate of it. Of
there was an angular diameter or, you
know, right.
Structure.
And you get an estimate of the angular size.
That's right.
Now, what was the actual observational procedure that you undertook? This was out at the Mullard site, right?
Yes.
Right.
I remember it was just a sort of common slog that everybody else used. You took measurements for 24 hours, you went out, you changed the elevation of the radio telescope, took another 24 hours.
Now, changing the elevation involves what?
Just rotating the cylinder.
But, I mean, it was done with motors, I mean, there was I mean, going back further with the Cambridge group, you get into more muscle power being required for some of these things.
Yes,